Okay, today's daf is Megillah Daf Tes Zayin. We are holding on toward the bottom of Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis. Today we're going to discuss the downfall of Haman and the honor that was shown Mordechai as Achashverosh came to the realization of what Haman was trying to do, and not realization, but Achashverosh reacted to what Haman was trying to do. So we're going to darshan all of those psukim, and in the context of discussing the honor that was shown to Mordechai and the big day malchus that Mordechai was wearing, we get into a discussion on the top of Amud Beis of Yosef's treatment of Binyamin and his other brothers after he revealed his identity to them, where he gives Binyamin extra sets of clothing, and that's going to relate directly to the fact that Mordechai is going to descend from Binyamin. And then the Gemara is going to discuss at the end of the daf a little bit about the ksav of the Megillah, about the writing of the Aseres Bnei Haman, about a vav that maybe has to be written in an extra long fashion, whether Megillah requires sirtut, a number of issues related to the ksav shel Megillah. So we are holding right now on daf tes vav amud beis. We are about 8 lines before the end of the page. Vayisapalem Haman is kvod ashrov rov banav, that Haman told about his great wealth and rov banav. So v'kama rov banav, how many sons did he have? What is the rov banav? So Amrav Lamid, that he had 30 sons. Asara Mesu, 10 of them died. Vasara Nitlu, 10 of them were hanged at the end. Vasara Machzirun al Psachim, and 10 of them remained alive after the Megillah story was over, but they went around collecting money, they went around begging at people's doors because they had no money. Vrabbanan Amri, Osan Shemachzirun al Psachim, Shivim Avya. The Rabbanan said, no, the ones that were Machzir al Psachim that went around begging were 70 of them. The Chsiv, Seveyim Balechim Niskaru, Altikri Seveyim Elashim. That there were shivim that were belechem niskaru, that needed to hire themselves out for bread, that were going around begging for bread. That the sons of Haman, the tally of the sons of Haman is 208. Shenemar virov banav, virov begematria masayin. It says virov banav, and we assume virov, and we know that virov is a gematria of 208. So says the Gemara, that's not true though. Virov begematria masayin varbeser havu. Virov is with vav at the beginning. Virov is the gematria of 214. It's not 208. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak virav ksiv. It's written without the second vav, and without the second vav, then it's a gematria of 208. So these are the different shittos of how many sons Haman had. The Achronim raised the question that if his sons were going, why did his sons have to go around begging? Meaning, first of all, why didn't we kill all of his sons? We should have killed if some of them were killed, then all of them should have been killed. Why would only some chelik of them killed and not all of them? Why would they have to go around begging? Haman was a very rich man. Not only that, why does Haman have to tell his wife about Rov Banav? He has to inform his wife about Rov Banav. Mistama, she knew how many children they had. So the Ben Yoyada explains, she knew how many children they had. She didn't know how many children he had. That he was going around with sleeping with every other Tsar's wife also, and he was and he had all sorts of illegitimate children, and he was trying to show how matzliach he is at everything, that he sired so many children, so he wanted to show everyone, he wanted to start bragging about it. So what happens when all these other sarim, all these other officers in the king's court hear about the fact that their children aren't really their children? They throw them out of the house. They're not interested in supporting Haman's children. They thought they would support their children. So you have all these sons who may or may not be Haman's children that are roaming around. So that's why you have different opinions in Chazal. How come they didn't know how many children he had? Because he didn't know how many children he had. He had all these different opinions, and they had to be machzir al psachim because they had nothing to eat, because they didn't get Haman's Yerusha, and they were thrown out of their parents' house. And that's why he has to tell his wife. That's what Ben Yoyada suggests is going on over here. B'layla hu nadda shnas ha-melech. That night the king couldn't sleep. So Amar Rabbi Tanchum, nadda shnas malcha shalolam. That it's referring to the sleep of the malcha shalolam, of the ribon shalolam. Rabban meaning as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was awoken from his slumber to do something to save Klal Yisrael. Rabbanan Amri, Nadu Elyonim, Nadu Tachtonim, that the Malachim were agitated all night, and that led to the agitation down here to make them to make Achashverosh do something. Rava Amr Shnas HaMelech Achashverosh Mamish. No, it just refers to the king Achashverosh, that he couldn't sleep. Nafle Milsa Bedaite, he thought of the following ideas. He couldn't sleep. Amr Maide Kaman Zemnisa Yastul Haman. He was trying to figure out the same question Chazal were trying to figure out in yesterday's, in earlier in this daf. Why is it that that Esther invited Haman to the party, and we had 12 different opinions in Chazal why Esther invited Haman to the party. Ahasuerus had the same kasha. Why in the world would Esther invite Haman to the party? What exactly is she planning? Maybe they're teaming up together to kill me, and there's some sort of plot on my life. He said, do I really have no friends? No one's going to tell me about such a thing, that there's a plot on my life, and no one mentioned a word of it to me. And maybe what happened in the past was someone must have done something good for me, and I didn't pay him back, I didn't reward him. So people thought that it's not worth it to let me know, that it's not worth it to tell me, because they're not going to gain anything from it anyway. So I should rectify that wrong if I ever didn't pay anybody back. And then if there's a plot against me, someone's going to inform me. So right away he says, bring the books, let's see what happened, let's see what the history is. And they were being read. It doesn't say that they were Korin, that they were reading them, but they were being read, which implies that they were read on their own. And it was found there written, Kasav mi vayalei. It should be that it was written down, Kasav, not Kasuv. It tells you that Ahasuerus' servant was sitting there trying to erase any mention of Mordechai, but Gavriel was rewriting it, so there was no way that they couldn't read it. If a ksav down here on earth, which is for the zchus of Klal Yisrael, cannot be erased, ksav shalamalu lo kolshkein, then any ksav up in Shemayim when Klal Yisrael does something right, for sure cannot be erased. That Kodesh Baruch is not going to be mekapech the schar of Klal Yisrael. He's not going to withhold the schar of Klal Yisrael. He's always going to give us our schar. Lo nasi imo davar. So nothing was done with Mordechai. Amar Rava lo mnesha avin es Mordechai el mnesha sonim es Haman. They didn't say this because they loved Mordechai so much that they wanted to say something nice about him. They said this because they hated Haman. So they were willing to acknowledge that nothing was ever done to Mordechai. How did Chazal know that they didn't say this because they loved Mordechai? So the Marsha explains that the Mesharsim should have said to the Melech in the same lashon that he said to them, Ma nasi yikaru gedula, and they should have said, Lo nasi ma yikaru gedula. We didn't do yikaru gedula. We didn't do anything very honorable and respectful to him. But they didn't say that. They said Lo nasi imo, which sounds like that the yakar that the Melech is asking about was not done with Mordechai. But they said Lo nasi imo davar, not just Lo nasi imo, that whatever you said wasn't done with him. They said Lo nasi imo davar, which implies that you didn't have to that you don't have to do that much with him. You just have to do a davar. You just have to do something with him. They didn't say Lo nasi imo yikaru gedula. You haven't yet done your yikaru gedula, which implies that you should do yikaru gedula. They said Lo nasi imo davar. You didn't do anything. So do something. Do a little token, a little something for him. So that's how they saw, says the Marsha, that it wasn't out of a love of Mordechai. Another suggestion that Rabbi Yaakov Emden and some of the other Achronim have is that the Gemara comes to the conclusion that they didn't love Mordechai from the fact that they didn't say his name. They said Lo nasi imo. In every other place in the Megillah where Mordechai is mentioned, it always says his name. And generally speaking, if someone doesn't like somebody, they have a hard time saying their name. They don't want to mention them by name. So the fact that they refused to mention Mordechai's name tells you that they were not fans of Mordechai, that they just hated Haman more. So Heichen lo, Tana lo Heichen. The Gemara is an interesting drasha, that he had prepared this the gallows to hang Mordechai on. So the Gemara darshins lo Heichen, that really they were prepared for Haman himself. From the pashtus of the psukim, it sounds that Haman is preparing it for Mordechai, but we're saying that no, that even Meikara, it was all prepared for himself. That's what the Chazal say in the Medrash in Esther Rabbah, that Haman had to measure the gallows to make sure that they would fit just right. So he measured them on himself. That when he was actually preparing them, he sized them to his own body. So it was actually lo heichin. He actually prepared them for himself in that way. The Masifti quotes Yesh Mevarim. I don't know who he's quoting. Doesn't say that the Gemara doesn't darshan this from the pasuk. It's the story that tells us that lo heichin, that it was all being prepared for Haman in the first place. Because what happened was everyone, the one thing that everyone realized about Ahasuerus was, as we mentioned yesterday's daf, that it was a melech hafachfachan, that he was always going to change his mind quickly. He was very he was not going to stick by his guns, and if you don't get him in the moment of his anger, then at any point he could change his mind. So because of that, Haman decided to prepare the gallows before he ever asked Achashverosh for permission to kill Mordechai. He wanted them there, he wanted them set, he wanted them ready to go, so that the second he gets Achashverosh to say that Mordechai should be hanged, that he would immediately be able to carry it out. And it's only because he did that that Haman was able to be killed. Because when Esther points the finger at Haman and Achashverosh says, okay, let's hang him, so now they had gallows prepared. Had the gallows not been prepared, had Haman not thought of that idea that Achashverosh is going to be easily convinced out of his decree, so he was actually preparing it for himself in a way that it couldn't have been prepared had he not prepared it. Va'asa came to Mordechai, and he did so for Mordechai. Did all this honor for Mordechai. Amrle manu Mordechai. So Haman, meaning Achashverosh, says, do this to Mordechai. So Haman says to Achashverosh, who's Mordechai? Amrle hayehudi. So Achashverosh says, you know, the Jew. Amrle tuva Mordechai yikub yudai. It's a very common name amongst the Jewish people, Mordechai. It's like saying Maisha, the Jew. You know, there are lots of Jews named Mordechai. So Amalei, Hayoshi b'Shar HaMelech. No, the one that sits in the Shar HaMelech. You know which one I'm talking about. Amalei, Sagadei b'chad diskarta, Inami b'chad nahara. So Haman says, hey, you know, just give him a token. Why do you have to give him such honor? Give him a little village. Give him a little river where he can charge a toll for anyone who wants to cross the river. You know, something. So Amalei, Hanami avle. Achshar says, that's also a good idea. So in addition to everything I want to give him that too. Give him a village. Give him a river. So al tipol dover mikol asher divarta. Everything that you said should be given to him. Vayikach Haman esalvush v'esasus. So Haman took the clothing and the sus and the horse, the royal chariots. Azal ashke diasir rabbanon kamei umachle hilchus kmitzal rabbanon. So he found that the rabbanon were sitting in front of Mordechai, and Mordechai was darshing. He was teaching them the halachos of kmitza, of the kmitza that you do by karb mincha when you take the kmitza is the ikra avoda of a karb mincha. There's no shchita by a mincha because it's not an animal. So the kmitza, they're taking three fingers full and rubbing off the extra flour, that's the ikra avoda of the karb mincha. Why was, of all things for Mordechai to be teaching, why was he teaching ilchus kmitza? So Rashi points out in the third line, dorish bin yanosh shel yom, that it's in yanosh shel yom, shishasar bin nisan, it was the 16th day of Nisan, so which is yom tenufas haomer, the day of the karban omer. Karban omer is karban mincha. So Mordechai was teaching the yanosh shel yom, what needs to be taught that day. Now, even though they weren't yet bringing the Karban Mincha at that time, they weren't in Yerushalayim, but we know the Gemara tells us that Avram Avinu says, B'me'eda ki Roshana, how do I know that my children are going to Yashin Eretz Yisrael? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, through Karbanos. Avram Avinu says, and what happens when there's not going to be Beis HaMikdash, then how am I going to know? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Unishalba Parm Sfasenu, that let them learn about the Karbanos, and learning about the Karbanos is going to be the kiyum of the Karbanos. So it makes sense on the second day of Pesach to be holding a shir about the halachos of the Karban Omer. Given the Chazi Mordechai da'apik lekable v'susei miach v'yadei mirta. So once Mordechai saw what was going on, he saw that Haman was coming with the horses and everything, he was very afraid. Amar lul rabbanon hay rishia lemiktol nafshi ka'asi. This rush is coming to kill me. Zil mekamei di lo tichlu b'gachaltu. Go, you better get out of here so that you don't get caught in the crosshairs of his interest in killing me. So right away Mordechai wrapped himself up and started to daven. Haman sat there patiently until Mordechai finished his davening. So Haman said to Mordechai, you know, making small talk, well, what were you doing just now? So when the Beis HaMikdash was around, if someone was to bring a Karban Mincha, if someone was to promise to bring a Karban Mincha, was to be menadev a Karban Mincha, he would bring a kmitza, flour, and then he would get his kapara. Amar lehu, asa mali kumtze kimcha didchu, vidachi asar alfi kikari kaspa didi. It seems that your mali kumtze, your Karban Mincha, your kometz, your little bit of flour, was more powerful than my 10,000 silver coins that I gave to Achashverosh, or that I offered to Achashverosh to kill the Jewish people. Amar lehu, Rasha, evit shakan nechas. So Mordechai says, your 10,000 silver coins, when an Eved acquires wealth, who does the wealth belong to? It belongs to the owner. We learned in yesterday's daf. You're my slave, Mordechai tells Haman. I bought you for a few loaves of bread. So everything you have is not yours, it's mine. So Haman says, you gotta put on this clothing and ride on this horse, the king wants you. He says, I'm sorry, I can't do that until I go to the bathhouse and I get a haircut first. because it's not respectful to the king for me to ride around like that without first without first looking decent. So it's not nice to use the items of the king looking the way I look. Shadra Esther Vasatinu Lukulu Bebani Lukulu Umni. So Esther right away made all the barbershops and all the bathhouses close so that no one would be able to provide Mordechai with these services other than Haman himself. So Haman himself had to go into the bathhouse and bathe Mordechai. And he had to go get a pair of scissors from his own house to give Mordechai a haircut. And as he was taking him, Haman was fell faint and started to groan. He says, "Why are you groaning?" He says, "Think about who I am. I'm the most important man next to the king, and I'm a great officer in the king's court. And now I've been turned into a barber and a bathhouse attendant. I'm a bathroom attendant and a barber now. That's look how far I've fallen. How could I not groan?" Russia, Velav Sapar Shokvar Kartzuma Yisa. So what are you talking about? Most of your career you've been a barber. That's what you've been doing your whole life. Tana Haman Sapar Shokvar Kartzuma Yasum Shtaim Shana. He spent 22 years as a barber, but he got drunk with the power, and he got so used to his new way of life that he forgot what he used to be, that he had completely banished it from his consciousness, and now he was groaning about doing something that he had done every single day for over two decades. So Rashi says that this whole story, as we mentioned before, was on the 16th day of Nisan. Now, if it was on the 16th day of Nisan, that means that it was on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Pesach. In Chutzlar, it's Yom Tov Sheni Shel Pesach. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Pesach, with Ora, you're not allowed to get a haircut. And Mordechai got a haircut for the occasion. So Rabbi Yonah Snipeshitz, Nyar Tavash, asked that question, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galias, you're not allowed to do Malacha. So to taking a bath, you understand, that's an Isra Midrabban, that's a Gezeres HaBalanim. So maybe he thought that he had a right to the Gezeres Malchus overpowered that Gezeres Midrabbanan. But or maybe the Gezeres Midrabbanan wasn't made yet, or whatever the Gezeres Midrabbanan was. But getting a haircut, that's Nisr Daraisa. So Rabbi Yonah Snapshitz explains that to get a haircut al yedei a goy and to have your nails cut al yedei a goy, the tzorich mitzvah is mutter, because the Yisrael is not doing the maisa, he's just allowing the maisa to be done on him. And that's also the reason that Esther is sent to get rid of all the, to close up all the barbershops and the bathhouses, so that Haman shouldn't force another Jew to do it for Mordechai, because that would have been a malacha on Yom Tov. So she wanted a guy to do it. The only way to guarantee that a guy does it is if she makes sure that Haman is the one to do it, and that's maybe why Mordechai was allowed to do it. Then he suggests that maybe anyway they were bikin b'kviyah diarcha. Maybe since they really knew when the new month was, it wasn't Yom Tov Sheni. There was no Yom Tov Sheni. It was really the first day of Chol HaMoed, which raises the question: are you allowed to do this on Chol HaMoed? That's what the Maariz Chai says in the back of Gemara. He says lo yadati echa yarashe legaleich saaro hare Chol HaMoed Pesach. Forget about Yom Tov Sheni. It was Chol HaMoed Pesach. How are you allowed to take a haircut, shave on Chol HaMoed Pesach? So we know the halacha is that the reason you're not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed is because we're afraid that someone's not going to shave in advance of Yantiv. He's not going to be mechabed Yantiv for shaving an erev Yantiv if he knows that he could just shave on Chol HaMoed. That's what Moshe writes in the Tshuva, that people who shave every single day, where there's no concern that they're not going to shave before Yantiv because they know they can shave on Chol HaMoed. No, they'll shave both because they shave every single day. So Pashtus is that it's mutter, meikar adin, for them to shave on Chol HaMoed. That's what Moshe writes. He doesn't recommend it, but he says meikar adin, it's mutter to shave on Chol HaMoed because of that svara. So says Maariz Chai, maybe that's why Mordechai was allowed to shave, that he was besako v'taniso beforehand. He couldn't shave in advance of Yantiv, and that's what the Mishnah says Moed Katan, that someone who couldn't shave before Yantiv because they were bebeis asurim, they were bederach, they were somewhere that they were unable to shave, then they're allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed because it wasn't out of a bezayin to the Yantiv that they didn't shave. It was they were unable to. So maybe Mordechai was in that situation. Okay. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says they're not allowed to go to a mission of Avodah Zarah, I think, actually. They're not allowed to go to a non-Jewish barber. So some of the Rishonim say, Tosos, I think, over there in Avodah Zarah says that going to a non-Jewish barber is only usher if he's using a razor, because the concern is that he's going to kill you. But if he's using scissors, then it's not a problem. So the Gemara over here, Dafka, says that Haman went home and got himself a pair of scissors. So maybe the fact that he's using scissors. Also, the assumption is that if he's using a mirror, you're allowed to do it. The Rishonim say that if you could see in the mirror, because then you'll see as he's taking the razor that he's cutting your hair with and he goes like this, right, then you know that he's about to kill you, so you can get out of the way. But it could be that if it's done publicly, also that it would be mutter. And this was probably done in a public way. That's Esther's whole point, was to get it done publicly, to be mivazah haman in a public way. So then he cut his hair. He got him dressed up in the clothing. He says, "Okay, go up on the horse and ride." He says, "I'm sorry, I'm very weak." Mordechai says, "Because from all the fasting, I'm not able to climb up by myself." So Haman had to bend down so that Mordechai could climb up on Haman to get onto the horse. Kisalik, as Mordechai was climbing up, ba'at bay, he kicked Haman. Amarle, lok sivlechu b'nefalei evcha al tismach. He says, "Okay, you're enjoying this a little too much. Doesn't it say that you're not supposed to find joy in the downfall of your enemy?" Amarle, hani mil b'Yisrael, avu d'chuk sevat al b'masei matidrach. He says, that's true when it comes to the Jewish people, but with the foreign enemies, the pasuk says, al b'masei matidrach, that I could trample all over you. So Haman had to go declaring, this is what happens to a person that the king wants to honor. When they were going down Haman's the alleyway where Haman lived, his daughter was all the way up on the rooftop. So she thought the one that was riding on the horse was her father, and the one that was leading the horse was Mordechai. For some reason, when I was in preschool, they always taught us, when I was a little kid, they always taught us that she took garbage and threw it in. It's not garbage. No, she took the tzitza de beis hakisei. She took the pot that they went to the bathroom in. It was much worse than garbage. And she threw it on her father's head. Dali yene v'chaz davuahu. So he looks up to see who threw that, and she sees, oh my gosh, it's her father. Nafla migra la'arav umesa. So she right away committed suicide. She jumped off the roof. She couldn't believe she did that to her father, or probably she was more afraid of what her father was going to do to her. Probably wasn't worth living, so she jumped off and committed suicide. Mordechai returned to the Shar HaMelech. He went right back to his sackcloth and fasting. And Haman was both Avel and Chafei Rosh. Avel al Bito, he was in mourning over his daughter. Chafei Rosh al Shir alone. Chafei Rosh for the embarrassment of what he just suffered. So Haman had told Zeresh, his wife, and everyone who loved him. So Karlu Avel v'Karlu Chacham. Pasuk refers to them as both Avav and Chachamav. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kolomer Davar Chachma, Afilu Bumas Olam Nikra Chacham. Even if a non-Jew says Dvar Chachma, he is called a Chacham. We have to give credit for someone being a Chacham when he's in fact a Chacham. Imi Zera Yehuda Mordechai. What they said is that if Mordechai is from the Zera Yehudim, Amar Lei Imi Shar Shvatim Kasi Yechaltalei. If he comes from most of the Shvatim, you should be able to overpower him. But Vimi Shevet Yehuda Binyamin Vefrayim Menashe Lo Yechaltalei. But if he comes from Shevet Yehuda Binyamin Ephraim or Menashe, you have no chance. Yehuda d'chsev yarcha barafay vecha, that Yehuda's hand is going to be on the neck of his enemy. Yehuda's always going to be able to defeat his enemies. Inach d'chsev b'u, and the other shvatim that he might be from, Binyamin, Ephraim, Menashe, lefnei Ephraim, Binyamin, Menashe, oras gvuroscha. Ki nafal tipol lefanav. What does nafal tipol lefanav? Meaning you're going to fall in front of him. Dar shabidu bar iloi, shtei nefilas halal lama. Why is it nafal tipol, a double lashon of nefila? Amr lo umazu meshulu la'afra meshulu l'kochavim. That this nation, Klal Yisrael, is similar to the dirt and they're similar to the stars. Kishen yordin yordin ad afar. When Klal Yisrael is down, they're as low as you could possibly be. They're all the way down in the dirt. Ukshen olin olin ad l'kochavim. But when Klal Yisrael is up, they're all the way up to the stars. Klal Yisrael doesn't really know mediocrity. We don't end up in the middle of anything. We're either completely persecuted in the lowest levels of society, or we're at the highest echelons of society. We always we're always in one end or the other. That they brought them there, they brought the officers there in a rush. Kinemchanu aniva va'ami kien atzar shova benezek hamelech. Amr lo tzar ze inu shova benezek shamelech ikni be'bevashti v'katla hashti ikni b'didi umbayle mikli. So Esther tells Achashverosh, this bad man is not worth your time, Achashverosh. He's such a terrible person for you. He's a bad advisor. He was jealous of Vashti, so he had her killed. Now he's jealous of me, and he wants to have me killed. He's not interested in what's good for the king, he's interested in what's good for him. Vayomer Melech Achashverosh, Vayomer Esther Amalka. So Achashverosh says to Esther, Vayomer, Vayomer Lamali. Why does it have to say Vayomer twice? It should say Vayomer Melech Achashverosh La Esther Amalka. What's the second Vayomer doing there? Amar Rebbevo B'tchila Yidei Torgman. first he was talking to her through a Torgman, Kivan Darmale Midbe Shol Kasina, Miyad Vyomala Sara Malka. But once she said who she is and where she actually comes from, and she says that she descends from the Beis Shol, then he was able to speak to her directly, not through a Torgman, that she knew all the languages and the language of royalty, so he was able to speak to her directly. So Esther says it's this awful man, Haman, this evil Haman. When she started off saying she didn't identify Haman at first, she was saying Ish, Tsar, Va'oyev, and then she finally said Haman. You see that she was pointing her finger originally toward Achashverosh, but the Malach turned her finger away toward Haman, that she shouldn't point toward Achashverosh because that wasn't going to do her any good at this point in time. But it also again highlights the idea that we keep on coming back to, that Achashverosh was almost as bad as Haman, that Achashverosh was quite evil in the story of the Megillah. It says the king got up in his anger and then he went and took a walk in the garden and he came back. Makashiva Lakima, that he returned with the same anger that in the same way that he got up. Makima Bechema Avshiva Bechema. Just like when he got up he was angry, so too when he came back he was still angry. That he saw Malachi Asharis that appeared to him to be like men and they were uprooting trees in the orchard. And he said to them, what are you guys doing? What do you mean? Haman told us to rip apart the whole orchard of the king. So that got him more angry at Haman, that Haman was knocking out Achashverosh's orchards, because apparently to demonstrate that Achashverosh is not going to be the melech anymore. So he came back to the house and Haman was falling on the bed. Nofel, nafal mi baile. What's nofel? It should have said nafal. So that a malach came and shoved Haman onto Esther. Amar vaymi besa vaymi brai. Says, wherever I go, he's doing something wrong. I go out to the orchard and he's chopping down my trees. I come back home and he's taking advantage of my wife. Vayomar amelach hagam luchbosh esamalki imi babayis. Right here in my palace, you're going to go and you're going to take my wife. Vayomar charvona. The Chazal used that pasuk as an expression. Maseches Pesachim, at the end of Pesachim, they use that as an expression when discussing in Yanim of Kiddush, where there was a machlokas about halachos of Kiddush, that in a place where someone is the Rav, you shouldn't dafka go against his shita, where he's standing right there, and he's the maradastra, that you shouldn't go against his shita. Gam luchbosh esamalki imi babayis. How could you go against him? How could you rebel against him right there, right when he's there? Vayomer Charvona. So Charvona says, Amar Blazer Af Charvona Rasha ba'usa etzahya. Charvona was also Russia in that eight. So in giving advice, given Shrushal in the sky, but he saw his advice wasn't working, so he ran away. The king's anger calmed down. It says Shachacha twice, one for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and one for Achashverosh. Another say no, one is for the anger that he felt with regard to the matter of Esther, and the other with the anger that he still felt with regard to the matter of Vashti, that Haman had advised him to kill Vashti. Lekulam nasan li'ish chalifos malos, lebinyamin nasan chamesh chalifos. Now this is not a pasuk in the Megillah. Now we're going back to a pasuk that it says by Yosef and his brothers, that Yosef reveals his identity to his brothers and he gives them all some clothing, but to Binyamin he gives five sets of clothing. So efshe davshin star bo osel tzadik yikashal bo. Could it be the very thing that caused him all these stars, that caused Yosef all these stars, by being shown favoritism, by having some Pasim, that he's going to stumble with the same thing and treat Binyamin the same way, where it's going to cause all sorts of jealousy? It's for two slime worth of linen that Yaakov added to Yosef by giving him an extra piece of clothing. So that's what led to the whole fight with the brothers, and that's what led to the whole Golus Mitzrayim. So how could it be that after Yosef seeing the terrible effects of showing favoritism to one child over another, that Yosef would do the same thing. So Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes says, we have several statements of Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes on this matter. So Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes says, and it's probably not a coincidence that the name of the Tana who discusses this is Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes. So his name is Binyamin. We also see from here, by the way, that Yefes is a name that was used by Tanaim and Amoraim. It was a name that was in use. It's not something that there's a discussion in the Achronim whether you're supposed to use names from Kodem Matan Torah of Bnei Noach or whatever from Kodem Matan. So you see that Yefes is a name that they did use. So anyway, Amar Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes, Remez Ramaz Lo Shasid Ben Latzis Menu Shiyotzi Mufnei Melech B'Chamisha Levushay Malchus, that he was giving him a Remez that there's going to be a descendant of yours of Binyamin's that's going to go out with five sets of royal clothing. Shnemar Mordechai Yotzi B'Levush Malchus Tcheles V'Gomer. It lists off the clothing, so there were five sets of clothing. So he wasn't showing favoritism. He was being Merames to him what's going to happen in the future. So the Gra asks the obvious question. So isn't that showing favoritism? Meaning, if you're the brothers and he's and you see that Yosef is giving five sets of clothing, it's a beautiful remez. It's wonderful. How does that take away the jealousy, though? I mean, he's still giving five sets of clothing. So the Gra explains, I think, that the difference is that in the Havamina, the Gemara assumed that he gave five times as much to Binyamin as he gave to the other brothers. And the same clothing he gave to the other brothers, he gave to Binyamin just five times over. But the Gemara's answer, Binyamin Refs' answer is, whatever the clothing, if he gave the brothers a suit that was $1,000, he gave Binyamin five suits that were $200 each. Meaning the point was, he dafka wanted to hit the number five, but he didn't actually show favoritism to Binyamin. He didn't give him anything more valuable than what he gave the other brothers, but he wanted to be merames to him. So that was all it was. All it was a remes. It wasn't any favoritism. It wasn't that he was giving him anything more than that. Also, it's difficult. The Mashal raises the question, how do we compare Yaakov's favoritism to Yosef's to Binyamin? When it comes to Yaakov to Yosef, there's no logical reason why Yaakov should favor Yosef over the other brothers. They were all equally his sons, but they were not all equally Yosef's brothers. The rest of them were all half-brothers of Yosef. Binyamin was the only one that was a full brother, so shouldn't he show a little more love to him? He was someone who was more closely related to Binyamin than he was to the rest of them. So the Marsha says, yeah, he should have given him twice as much. But giving him five times as much, that was the proportionally, that didn't work, and that's what they were jealous of. So he falls on the neck of Binyamin, on the necks of Binyamin. So Kama Tzavar and Havalol Binyamin, how many necks did Binyamin have? Amar Rabbi Lazar, he was crying over the two Batei Mikdash that were going to one day be built in the Chelek of Binyamin Vasid and Licharev, and were one day going to be destroyed. The Chassam Sofer points out that the neck is the symbol of the Beis HaMikdash because its function is similar to the function of the Beis HaMikdash. The purpose of a neck is to connect the head to the heart and the rest of the limbs of the body, which allows the ideas that we think of in our head to be dealt with by the emotion of our heart and by our limbs to actually put it into action, and the food that we put into our head, we put into our mouth to then be dispersed throughout the entire body. So in a certain way, the head supports the whole body, and the same is the opposite as well. The kochos hachioni go mehalev la rosh, that the blood pumps from the heart to the head and to the rest of the body. So this is the Beis HaMikdash, also it's the Shara Shamayim. It's where we accept our Shefa Meirosh. It's where we get anything a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to be Mashpia on us, comes through the neck, from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is a Avinu Shebashamayim, so it comes through the Beis HaMikdash to Klal Yisrael. And it's also our way of reconnecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's our way of bringing Karbanos, so it's, in a way, it's the neck of the world. That's why it's the Tzava represents the Batei Mikdash. Binyamin Bachal Tzavarav, and Binyamin cried on his neck. Bachal Mishkan Shiloh Shasalios Bechelka Shal Yosef Vasil Dechariv. He was crying about the Mishkan Shiloh that was going to be in Yosef's Chelek that was also going to be destroyed. V'inei Nechem Ros V'inei Achim Binyamin. Amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Lahem K'shem Shein B'libi Al Binyamin Achi Shaloya B'michirasi Kachem B'libi Aleichem. Yosef is telling his brothers, just like I have no tainas on Binyamin, who had nothing to do with my sale, I have no tainas on you either. Kipi Amadabar Aleichem Kafi Kain Libi. And trust me, everything I'm saying I really feel in my heart. I'm not just telling you one thing and feeling something else. Ulaviv Shalach Chazos Asara chamorim nosim mituv Mitzrayim. And he sent his father 10 donkeys laden with the best of Mitzrayim. My mituv Mitzrayim. Amar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes. Amar Blazer. Sholuchol yayin yashan shadas nekelim nochem enu. He sent them something that people of advanced age enjoy, some aged wine. Ve'yelchu gamach ve'yiplu lefanav. Amar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes. Amar Blazer. Haynu damri inshi. This is what people say. Tal bi'inei sagaday. That when a fox has his hour, when he's things are going good for him, you bow to him. So Tyler might be Tzurusim Achva. I mean, that's why the brothers bowed to him, because even though he was lower than them, that they should still bow to him, because he's having his hour, he's having his moment of good luck. No, they were he was on no lower level than them. Why is he only a fox compared to them? Eliyit Marhachiyit Marveishachu Yisrael Rosh Hamita. No, if you're going to darshan that idea that even someone on a lower level than you, if they're experiencing their moment of good luck, they have to show them respect. Darshan on the following pasuk. Pasuk says that Yaakov bowed al Rosh Hamita toward Yosef. For Yaakov to bow toward Yosef, that's bowing to someone beneath him. So Amar Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Talabiyin Ne Sagadai. That's where we say that even when a fox is experiencing his good luck, you should bow to him. Ve'inachim Asam Eidabra Libam, Amar Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Milamit Sha'amar Lem Dvarim Shem Skablin Alev. Yosef is telling his brothers things that they could accept. Uma Seres Neres Lo Yachlu Lichbos Ner Echad, Ner Echad Heich Yachlu Lichbos Asar Neres. He said, even if I wanted to go after you, I wouldn't be able to do anything. If 10 candles couldn't extinguish one candle, how's one candle going to extinguish 10 candles? The 10 of you couldn't get rid of me. How would I ever have avamina that I would be able to get rid of 10 of you? Back to Pesukim in the Megillah. So the Jewish people had all sorts of good things. Ora, simcha, sasan, mikar. And what are these things? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ora zu Torah. Ora is a reference to Torah. V'cheinu omer, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. Simcha ze yom tov. Simcha is a reference to yom tov. V'cheinu omer, v'samachta b'chagecha. That's why the pasuk says, v'samachta b'chagecha relates to yom tov as the time of simcha. Sasan zumila, v'cheinu omer, sasanochi alim rasecha. Vikar elu tefillin. And vikar is a reference to tefillin. V'cheinu omer, that all the nations of the world are going to see that the Shem Hashem is on us and they're going to be afraid of us. These are the tefillin shebarosh. That's the mice they tell with the gra, I think it is, that there were some non-Jewish soldiers that were coming to attack the Jewish people, and they were coming to close down the Beis Medrash where the gra was, and the gra wasn't worried at all, and they come in and they see the gra and they're terrified and they run away. And they said to the Talmidim, said to the Gra, what just happened? So he says, well, it's a Beferish Gemara that Vero Kalam Eretz Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'Yarum Yimecha. The pasuk says that the Am Eretz are going to see that Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, and they're going to be afraid, and that's a reference to Tefillin Shabarosh. So they saw my Tefillin, so they were terrified, so they ran away. So the Talmidim said, yeah, but they saw all of our Tefillin also, and they didn't seem to be so terrified. How come it was only your Tefillin? He said, no, look at the Gemara. It doesn't say Elu Tefillin Sha'al Harosh. It says Elu Tefillin Shabirosh. It's not enough to have the tefillin on your head. The tefillin has to be a part of who you are. It has to really be internalized in order for it to work. So that's how the Chazal carefully chose the lashon of tefillin shebirosh. There's a discussion whether the fact that we, as the poskim discussed, the fact that tefillin is associated so closely with bris milah, sason zumila, yikar zu tefillin, is a day of hanachas tefillin considered to be the kind of simcha that's similar to a bris milah, in that when there's a bris milah in shul, you don't say tachnun. So when there's a hanachas tefillin in shul, should you skip tachnun? The minhag is not that way. But poskim discussed, maybe it should be, that maybe on the day of a bar mitzvah, where a person becomes a mitzvah v'yosa, Yamshel Shlomo writes in Baba Kama, where he discusses all the definition of what's called the Sudas Mitzvah, very nogea l'maisa for the 9 days coming up, that what's called the Sudas Mitzvah, because it's only a Sudas Mitzvah that will let out fleshiks during the 9 days. So he defines what's called the Sudas Mitzvah. So he says, it's a bar mitzvah, Sudas Mitzvah. He says, just look at what it's called, a bar mitzvah. It ain't Sudas Mitzvah, gadol mizeh, that the person is becoming a mitzvah v'yosa, of course it's called a Sudas Mitzvah. Then the Sefer Nahar Mitzrayim, he says, the minhag Mitzrayim was that they wouldn't say tachnun on the day of a bar mitzvah, and he said because he's domel chasan, that just like a chasan is kechasan yichayin pe'er, tefillin is called a pe'er, so it's like a chasen that he shouldn't wear tefillin. And he says, and also because tefillin is compared to mila, and in our gemara that mila is one is sason zumila, yikar is tefillin. So if mila is enough of reason, then tefillin is enough of reason also not to say tachanun. But again, the minhag seems not to be that way. That when someone puts on tefillin, we do say tachanun. But that's what he suggested. Ves parshandasa aseres bnei Haman. So lists off the 10 sons of Haman. Amar Rav Adad Minyafa aseres bnei Haman vaseres sarklum imrinu b'nim shima achas. The 10 sons of Haman's names and the word aseres all have to be said in a single breath. My time ukulu b'adi adadi nafkanish messiah, because they all died simultaneously. So that's why we have to mention them in a single breath, as if it's all happening simultaneously. The Chayyadim says that there's a minhag in certain places where when they get up to the aseres bnei Haman, where the whole tzibur says the aseres bnei Haman themselves and doesn't just listen to the Bal Kore, that they all say it on their own as well. And he says, Eino minag, it's not a valid minag, I don't know where this is from, I don't know what this is all about. So in the Sefer Zah Shulchan, he says, no, it's very poshut what the minag is about. Since it has to be said b'neshima achas, almost nobody could hear it. It's very difficult to hear all 10 sons of Haman because it's being said so quickly. So in order for people to be yotzei, they need to say it themselves because they're probably not hearing it from the Bal Kore. But the Ragat Shavar says, nah, the Bal Kore could say it in a way where everyone could hear it. They could hear it quickly enough. They may not be able to read it themselves quickly enough, but they could hear it quickly enough. Says, no, the problem is that the reason that they have to say it on their own, says the Ragat Shavar, is because the halacha is there's a din called Shomea Ka'ona. Shomea Ka'ona is mechadesh, that when I hear something, it's as if I said it. But when there's more than just a requirement to say something, the requirement is to say something ba'ofen mesuyam, in a certain type of way, well then I have to say it in that type of way. Shomea Ka'ona makes it as if I said it, but it doesn't make it as if I said it in that way. So yeah, when I hear the Aseres Bnei Haman, it's as if I said Aseres Bnei Haman, but it's not as if I said it b'neshima achas, because whenever there's a further detail other than just saying it, that doesn't transfer with Shomea Ka'ona. So the only way to fulfill the neshima achas is by saying yourself. That's what the Beis Halevi says by Birchas Kohanim, that there's no Shomea Ka'ona with Birchas Kohanim. Why don't you just have one Kohen with a good voice, instead of having five different Kohanim sing five different tunes at five different paces, have one Kohen with a good voice sing the Birchas Kohanim, everyone else will be Yotze with Shomea Ka'ona, and good, and everyone will be happy. Why do you have to have everybody say it? So the Beis Halevi says, because Birchas Kohanim has a din that has to be said b'kol ram. So yes, yeah, Shomea Ka'ona is as if every Kohen said it, but it wouldn't be as if they said it b'kol ram, because that's an ofen ha'amira. Whenever there's a way that it has to be said, that doesn't transfer through Shomea Ka'ona. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Vav devayzasa tzarech lemimtacha b'zikifa. The Vav devayzasa needs to be elongated. It's Machlokas Rishonim, the Ran, the Rush discuss, what does it mean elongated? In the way that it's said, or in the way that it's written? So they assume both possibilities. Kimordia de livros, like the pole on a river, that when a sailor would have to measure how deep the river is. My time, kulu b'chad zekifa is zekifa, because all of Haman's sons were hanged on one tall pole. Am Rabbi Chanin bar Papa, Darsh Rabbi Shili ish kfar timrasa. Kol ha-shiras kulu nechtavos ariach al gabi levein al gabi ariach. Whenever you have shira in Tanakh, which is when the words are not just written in straight lines, but they're broken up, so it's normally like as yashir, where it's ariach al gabi levein al gabi ariach. You have the small bricks on top of the big bricks on top of the small bricks, meaning the bricks being the phrases of words. Chutz mi shira zu malchik nan, sha ariach al gabi ariach levein al gabi levein. There are only two shiros that are written in two even columns next to each other. The Aseres Bnei Haman, where you have the S in one column and all the names in the other column, and you have the names of the Malchi Kanan in Sefer Yoshua, the 31 kings that Yoshua had to kill out in Eretz Yisrael when we came into Eretz Yisrael, also are written in two columns. My Taima, Shalotei Tkuma L'mapalasan, is to show the instability of the structure, meaning the Az Yashir is built in a very stable structure. If you were to take bricks and build it that way, it would be a very stable structure, whereas when you just pile things directly on top of each other, the pile can tip over very easily. So it shows the instability of them, that they should fall and they shouldn't be able to get back up. So the Melech reports back to Esther what the Jews were doing in Shushan. You see that a Malach came and tapped him on his mouth. That meaning, because he starts by speaking harshly, look what the Jews are doing, but then at the end he speaks nicely and he says nice things to Esther. So you see that the Malach sort of adjusted the way Achashverosh was going to talk. At first he was going to talk about the undue force and the excessive response of the Jewish people in responding to their enemies, but then the Malach made him straighten out. It should say Amra, because it's Esther talking. So Amra B'Yochanan, Yomra B'Pem Mashakasav B'Sefer. This was a declaration that everyone should say in their mouth what it says in the Sefer, meaning that we have to read the Megillah every year. Divrei Shalom V'Emes. Amra B'Tanachum V'Armelam Rabbi Asim Lamed Shetzricha Sirtut Kamita Shal Torah. Why is the Megillah called Divrei Shalom V'Emes? Because what's the ultimate Emes? Torah is the ultimate Emes. So it's telling us that the Megillah has to be written with Sirtut, just like Amita Shal Torah, just like the Torah itself. Maimer Esther Kayim, Maimer Esther in Divrei Atzomos Lo. So it sounds like Maimer Esther Kayim is only Maimer Esther, but not the matter of the fast. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Divrei Atzomos Maimer Esther Kayim. Divrei Hapurim Ha'ela, that both things, the Tzomos and the Maimer Esther and the Megillah are all last. Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishal Melech Achashverosh V'Gadol Yehudim V'Ratzi L'Rov Echav. Mordechai Yehudi was the second in command to Achashverosh. He was the Gadol for the Yehudim, and he was accepted by most people, by most of his brothers. L'Rov Echav Lo L'Chol Echav, only by most, not everybody. Shouldn't Mordechai have been the most popular guy around? So Malamit Shapir Shimena Mitzah Sanhedrin. You see that some of the Sanhedrin separated themselves from Mordechai, that they weren't so pleased with Mordechai. So Amar of Yosef, Gadol Talmud Torah Yosem Yatzalos Nefashos. Now we're going to have a series of three different statements about the greatness of Talmud Torah. We'll pick up with that tomorrow, the Gadol Talmud Torah. We'll stop there.